Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. So let's take it from the bottom of Kuf Mem Vav Amud Beis, three lines up. The Gemara asks, "Man Tanelaha, who is the author of the following brayso?" The Tanur Rabbanan, Haresha Yachola, guy who's sick, Umut Abem Mita, and he's lying down in bed. Vamrulah, they said to him, "Nichsechel Ami." They ask him, "Who's your property going to go to?" So Vamrulahen, so the Chola says to them, "Dom Shayeshli Ben. It seems that I've got a son." He thought at least at some point he had a son. But now that I'm realizing I don't have a son, so nichse leploni, so my property should go to so and so. So then the Gemara says, Hayachola umuta b'mita. A guy is sick and he's lying down in the bed. Vamulo, and they ask him again, nichasav lemi, who's going to get your property? And he says to them, Amalem doma sheishti muberes. I thought my wife was pregnant, but achshav shein ishti muberes. Now that I'm realizing my wife is not pregnant, nichse leploni, so my property should go to some other person. But no, d'sheyesh lo ben. Turns out he actually does have a son. Oh, shayisa isha muberes, or he actually had his wife was pregnant. So then the halacha is ein matanaso matana. His matana was not good because he thought something that was incorrect. He thought he didn't have a child. He thought his wife wasn't pregnant, but it was incorrect. So Rashbam says two lines down, ein matanaso matana. Because the ilah haya yodeh sheish lo ben, had he known he had a son, osha ishto mubaris, or his wife is pregnant, ilah haya onos, and he wouldn't have given it over to some other person. So here it doesn't work. So the Gemara wants to know who authored this brisa. So answers the Gemara, lema Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh hi, below Rabbanim. We learned this yesterday, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh held that it was all about umdina dedaito. So the umdina das here is that his intention was only to give it over on condition that he didn't have a son or his wife being Muberis. But now that it turns out that he did have a son or did have his wife was Muberis, so then this Matana is not considered Matana, and that's in accordance with Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. So the Gemara says, Afilu Tamer Rabbanan, Dome Shiny. No, even Rabbanan will agree to this case. In general, Rabbanan say you don't go based on the Umdina. But here, since he says Dome, he's saying what his thought process is, he's explaining it. So even the Rabbanan would agree that this case, it would not be considered Matana. Since he stated, I thought I had a son, but I didn't, tells us he really wanted to give it to the son if he had one. And turned out he did have a son, so it goes to his son, not to the Ploni. So Gemara says this is such an obvious distinction. The karile my karile. What was the chiddush here? Who wouldn't think this distinction? And so the Gemara answers mal desema. What would you have thought? Tzare hu dekamidchar kamashma. You thought maybe just saying, oh, yeah, I wish I had a son. I wish my wife was muberes. Not that he was having intentions that that person, that individual, should be kona. He's just saying what his tzaros are. Kamashma. No. When he says that, he's actually mentioned. He means dafka. If I have a son, my son should have it. And therefore, even Rabbanan would agree in this case, it would be considered a good kinyan. Gemara now says, Amar Bizeira, Amar Rav. Minayin limatnas shchimira shehi minatara. How do you know this concept of shchimira, which again is, if a person who's deathly ill says, I want my property to go to someone else, even though he doesn't write it, it's considered kiksuvim ukumisurin dami. It's as if you wrote it down, even though it wasn't. Where do you find such a concept in the Torah? So the Gemara answers, Shinemar, the Pasuk says, V'havartim es nachalasa lebito. And you pass over the property to your daughter. So the Gemara, Rashbam explains the drasha is based, V'havartim is an extra word. So what's the drasha? Yesh lecha ha'avara acheres shi kazu. There's another type of passing, which is similar to this one. Eze zu matana shchemira. It's also, a person is able to pass over his property to somebody else. It's also a ha'avara. He's going to circumvent his children and give it to somebody else. That's another ha'avara that works alone, even without a kinyan. That's the source according to Rav. Then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar, he brings another pasuk in the name of Rabba Bar Avua. Mehacha, unisatem es nachalasa la'achiv. So here too, Rashbam points out the word nesatim is extra, telling us there's a drasha, yesh lecha nesina acheres shikazo. There's another type of giving which is similar to the Yerusha giving, veza, which is the one, ma'zu ma'nas shchemira, that the person could pass over the property even without there being a ma'isa kinin, it works because of ma'nas shchemira. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, my time alo amar mehavartim. Why didn't Rav Nachman use the first pasuk of havartim? So he says, Hahumi Barley, because the havartim is used for a different drasha. Lichdi Rabbi, we saw this already before, the Daf Kuftes, the Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Bekulan Nemru Behen Nesina, All the other Yerushas, it says Nesina, 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 but Kan, Nemra Havara. But with respect to the daughter, it says Havara. Why? Telling us that Ein Lechashem Avir Nachla Mishevet Leshevet Ela Bas, the only Yorish who could potentially take your Yerusha and move it over to another Shevet is the Bas. That's why it says V'Havartem. How could she do this? Hol Ubina Ubaila Yorish Nosa. Since her husband or her son are going to be Yorish, this your daughter, so and there might be from a different Shevet, that's the only way there's going to be a Havara. But therefore it's not available to make a drasha of Matnas Shchemira. And Rav Nachman therefore uses a different pasuk of Unisatim. So now the Gemara asks, what about the other way? Rabbi Zeira, first wide line down, my time lo amar mi Unisatim. Why doesn't he use that pasuk? He says that's not a drasha, orche de krahu. That's the normal way the pasuk speaks. That's not considered a extra word. And therefore he had to use the word vavartim. Rav Menashe bat Yirmiya amar mihacha, he has another source. The pasuk says, "Bayamim ahem apasuk malachim." On those days, Chala Chizkiya lamus. Chizkiya got very sick. He almost died. V'yavo elav Yishaya ben Amos hanavi. Yishaya went to him. V'yom elav, he says to him, "Kama Hashem." Hashem says, "Tza tzav leveisecha." Command your family. Kimeis ata v'lo sichya, because you're going to die. So we see, b'tzava ba'alma, a tzava alone, just giving a tzava, even though there's no kinyan sudor or anything else, the tzava alone is sufficient. It is the most direct. Now the reason why the previous ones didn't use it is because this is from Nevi'im, and the other ones are from Torah Lechora, but this is the most direct source we have so far. Then comes along the final sources, Rami Bar Yechezkel Amar Mihacha. He uses a pasuk in Shmuel. Says, V'achitofel ra ki lo nesesa atasa. He realized that they weren't following his advice. V'achavoshes hachamor, he saddled his donkey. V'yakum v'yelech habeso, he went up, went to his house, El Iro, to the house in his city. V'yitzav el beso v'yechanek. He told his family what to do, and then he choked himself. He strangled himself to death. And so the Gemara says, but tzava ba'alma, all he had to do is give a tzava, and that was sufficient. Now, what's interesting about this case is he wasn't sick. All the other cases, well, the previous case, at least, is the Matnas Shchemira. It says Chizkiya was sick, but it doesn't mention Achitofel was sick, unless you say he was mentally disturbed at the point he was so overtaken by that type of mental illness. I'm just going to look around just for a second here. So the Muki Yosef says, you learn from here that even a person who's Yotzei Bekola, a person who's being taken out to be killed, even though he's not sick at the time, but since there's an inevitable death all along the way, so that's considered a Shemira as well. It's not about his current illness, but about death is imminent. So when it comes to Yotzei Bekola, where the Bezin is going to kill him, or the guy has already decided in his own mind to take his own life, that's already considered a Matnas Shemira, which is a big Chiddush, but that's what the Gemara says. Now look in Tosos on the top here. Minayin lematnas shchimira shehi minatora. How do you know it's deraisa? So la minatora dafka kamar, says Tosos. It's not really deraisa because dehar Rav Nachman gufe. Rav Nachman was one of the ones who brought a source here. So he himself, on the top of Amud Beis, we'll see in just a few moments, Islele Kaman, he's going to tell us, Dzeino Kishel Torah, Ve'asa Kishel Torah, that Matnas Shchemira is not really deraisa, but they treated it like a deraisa. So it's not a real source. Ella esmach de ba'almahu. It's really an esmach de ba'almah. The kamar v'had the kamar my time lo amar me'avartem. So it's very interesting. So if it's really an esmachta, so you don't have to start asking, so why do you use this esmachta versus that esmachta? The esmachta is not really taken that seriously. So Tosus explains, peish my time lo mafik esmachta didei min vavartem. So it's a very strange question. But he says, V'chiyai gavnu, we have cases of this. Per kamad de moed katan, gavit zion shumidirbanam. So the Gemara has, how do you know, we're learning this at night, we just did this Thursday night, that how do you know that you have to mark off where a base kfaros are, so no Kohen walks over there and doesn't become Tameh. So they bring like 10 different sources, how do you know you're supposed to be mitzayin on the base kfaros. So the Gemara starts asking questions, why do you use this pasuk and not that pasuk, even though according to most Rishonim it's only Midirbanim. Now the truth is Tosfos right there in Moed Katan is actually Deraisa. But the Gilyan Hashas on the side says, it sounds like from the Gemara, I think it's on Hedrin he quotes, that being Mitzayin based on Kfaros is only a Din Dirabanan. So if you assume it's only Din Dirabanan, so why are they fighting about which Esmachta to use and why this one versus that one? So that's what they do. So to the Gemara Babasa, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin, even though it's an Esmachta, the Gemara does have Shach Levitarias of why they chose that Esmachta versus this Esmachta. But again, according to the Pashup Shat here, it sounds like it's a source, a real Din Deraisa, as does the case of Moed Katan about being Mitzayin based Kfaros. The simple reading is it does sound, it says Remez Min HaTorah, it might be a Deraisa there as well, according to Tosfos, at least in Moed Katan. The Gemara now says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Dvarim Tziva Achitofel's Banav. There are three things Achitofel commanded his sons. Al Tiyuma B'machlokes, don't be involved in Machlokes. Al Timur Du B'malchus Beis David, don't rebel against the Malchus Beis David. And thirdly, B'yom Tova Shel Atzeres Bor Zaro Chitim. And on Atzeres, namely Shavuos, if it's going to be clear day out, if it's going to be a nice day out, Zaro Chitim, you should plant Chitim because it's going to be a good simen for the entire year, the produce of the upcoming year. So these three things, it's interesting, they quote in the back here, that in Ayin Eliyahu, these three ideas Achitofel said are all very much connected. How so? Because he said that we know the Deva Tzadik's birthday is a big inyan. How do we know this? The Gemara in Megillah tells us that Haman was so excited, Zayin Adar was the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, but he didn't realize it was also the Yom Huledes, the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see the day they were born is very, very big inyan. So Shavuos, who was born on Shavuos? So we know David Melech died on Shavuos, but we also know if he's a tzaddik that he must have been born on Shavuos as well, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashlim the Shnosef, he had a full year. So he must have been born on Shavuos. So Achitofel is saying, when the tzaddik is born on Shavuos, it's a big simon. If it's a good clear day out, that means it's a good simon for the rest of the world. So he's connecting the Indian of the birthday of the Shavuos, which is the birthday of David, and says not to be Morid B'malchus David, to connect that as well. And he doesn't explain how the Machlokas, but I guess don't have Machlokas either, I guess somehow connects this as well. There seems to be some pattern here in Achitofel, who is saying, show tremendous kavod to the tzaddik David HaMelech. Okay, then the Gemara says, so again, he said if it's a clear day out, you should take this as a good simon for the upcoming year and plant wheat. So Marzutra Amar Balul Itmar. It doesn't say Barur, but it says Balul, which is actually the Mu'urav, says Rashbam. Yom Mu'unan, actually the opposite. If it's a cloudy day, that's actually a Simon Yafe. I guess the idea would be, because I mean it's going to be a rainy season, which is going to be beneficial for the produce. So then the Gemara quotes Amri Nahardai, Mishmei Rabbi Yaakov, Lo Bar Bar Mamesh, Lo Bala Bal Mamesh, Ela Afilu Balul Veruach, Tzfonis Minash Vaso, Zehu Baru. It doesn't really mean clear, it doesn't really mean cloudy. It means even if it's cloudy and the wind blows away and shows that it's going to be a clear day, that too is a good simon for the upcoming year. So the idea is really Baru, but it doesn't have to be Baru the whole day. Even if it's cloudy in the beginning and the wind blows it off, that's also considered Baru. So Amalei Rabbi Abba le Rav Ashi Anan Adi Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Masnisin La. We taught this on a statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, which is what? Damer Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Motze Yomtif Ha'achron Shel Chag Hakol Tofin Lashon Hamaracha. So the last day of Shmini Atzeres, after Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres is all over, everybody would look towards the smoke that was on the Mizbeach. And what would the smoke indicate? Not the klapei tzafon. If the smoke was tilting towards the north, so aniyim smeichim, the poor people would be very excited. Ubali batim atzavim, but the farmers would be very sad. Bipnei gishme shana merubim, because that means there's going to be a lot of rain. And uperis markivin nata markivin. So and they're going to go bad because if it rains so much and their fruit's so moist and wet, they're not going to be preserved for a very long time. So Nimr happy because they have a tremendous amount of produce because of all the rain, but since it can't be preserved, they have to get rid of their produce quickly and sell it for very, very cheap. So the Anim are getting a lot of food for very cheap. Not the klape darum. If the smoke starts to blow towards the south, so then the Anim atzavim ubali batim smechim. So then the poor people are sad, and the farmers are very happy. Why? Because there's very little rain, there's enough rain for it to have produce, but they're able to preserve it and hold on to the fruit to sell at the price point that they want. And then, not the klape mizrach, if the smoke is going towards the east, hakol smechem, everybody's happy, because it seems to be a good compromise, somewhere in the middle where it's enough produce, it's a good price, fine. And then, if it's going to klape mar, if it goes, the smoke blows towards the west, hakol atzav, everybody's sad, and Rashbam explains here, because it brings apparently tremendous cold, and it's not good for the fruits don't grow very much, so it's bad for everybody. So that's the din. So everyone would look towards the smoke on the Mizbeach, on the Maracha, after Sukkot. The Gemara now asks a question. Urminhi Mizrachas Liol Myafe, the east is always good, and we just said before the east is actually bad. Everyone's good so far. Mizrach, everyone says good. Maravis Liolam Kasha, the west is always going to be bad, and that's also going to be consistent. Rach Tzfonis Yafel Chitim B'Shasha V'Yishlish. The northern wind is good. It doesn't depend. But we thought it was a categorical point. Now we're saying it depends. If the grain has grown a third, so then north is good. If it's kosher, but it's kosher lezeisin, it's bad for the olives. B'shashianitzu, when the olives began to develop. If it's a ruach jomus, if it's a southern wind, so then it's kasha lechitim mishasha v'yushlish. It's bad for the wheat that have already grown to a point of one third, but it's yafa lezeisim mishasha yanitu, but it's actually beneficial for the olives when it started to develop as well. And Amar of Yosef, v'yisem other say marzucha, v'yisem other say Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak, v'simanach shulcha mitzafon umner b'darom. And the mnemonic to remember this is the fact that the shulchan was in the north, which is made from lechem apanim, the grain. So that means the north is good for the grain, but the menorah is bedarom, and the south is the menorah where the shemen is. So the south is good for the oil. So that's how that's the mnemonic to remember all of this. So either way, we see that's slightly different than what we said above in terms of we said the north is a certain way, the south is a certain way. This brisa says that no, it depends on the different type of produce. And so the Gemara answers, Hai marbi didei, vahai marbi didei. This is the Gemara says each one's good for its own type. So what's the answer? Lokasha ha lan valahu. It depends. One's referring to Eretz Yisrael, one's referring to Bavel. So look at the Rashbam, three lines up. He explains, ha lan libnei Bavel, hashoch b'mitzula. They're living in a place that's very low and deep. V'artzenu meluch lachos ve'enom tzuich lamatar kol kach. It's very moist, and you don't need that much rain in Bavel. But Lididan, Misa Brisa, Basraisa. So for us, they taught the Brisa, Shemaravis Kasha, Lefish Mamteris Yoser Midai. When the western wind comes, it's too much rain and ruins it. Lebene Bavel. Bavel doesn't need rain, and too much rain is actually not good. Umizrachis Yafe, the eastern wind is actually good because that means there's going to be less rain. Brisa Kamaisa, but the first Brisa, Demasna Ibchalu, that had the opposite, Livnei Eretz Yisrael. Shartum Gavoa, the land of Eretz Yisrael is in a higher plane, and Tzrichin Lamata Harbe requires a lot of rain. So that's the difference between the first Brisa and the second Brisa.
This is burning the ashes? In other words, this is after Yontif.
It's after Yontif, just to see where the wind would go, where it would move. That's just a simon what the upcoming year is going to look like.
I'm saying it's not from the carbonates, this is after Yontif already.
Yeah, exactly. It's the
so
fire.
It's burning the ashes.
The fire's still going. Yeah, exactly. The fire's still going. And from that fire, the smoke of the fire, that's going to indicate
so
exactly.
So it sounds like the Rashbam that the steer was in Mizrach HaMarev. And I think it has to do with which way the wind was blowing. In other words, if the smoke was going Mizrach, that means it was blowing from the Marev.
Which way the wind was actually blowing?
Because the Rashbam is saying he's answering Mizrach HaMarev.
As opposed to north and south? No, we said, east and west, we said that was the contradiction because east, in the first Brisa said, east is always good and west is always bad. And the Brisa below, I'm saying north and south, we said north is...
We said north and south, but I think...
I see what you're saying. So according to what I said, north and south seem to have been the difference. That north... The Anim were happy, and south, the Bali Batim were happy. But here the Bryce says that no, north it depends on which type of grain, and south depends on a different type of grain also. But since Rashbam is answering Mizrach versus Mariv, so therefore what's a steer for him?
So maybe that, in other words, if the smoke was blowing east, that means it was a western wind, or if it was blowing west, it was an eastern wind. And then this is saying that eastern wind, western winds.
Aha. Uh-huh. If it's blowing east, it means the western wind is blowing at east. The western wind is coming this way and blowing everything east. The four is referring to the western wind is actually... Okay, I see what you're saying. So let's just see that again. So the first Brisa said that if the wind is blowing towards the east, so everybody's happy. But the Brisa, the second Brisa says if the... that's still klape mizra.
No, I think the second Brisa is just referring to an eastern wind versus a western wind. Not where it's...
blowing, but where it's coming from.
Maybe. I don't know.
But which direction the smoke's coming, though?
That's the original Brisa.
Oh, they're both talking about smoke.
The first one wasn't talking about smoke. I just thought where the wind was coming from.
No, the first Brisa said, where's the smoke going?
See the smoke going. The east or the west or north or south.
That means it's coming from the opposite direction where it's gone.
Right, the wind is coming
out. And the second Brisa is talking about where the wind is coming from.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Gemara now says last three lines of the Amud here. Tanya Abishol Omer, Yom Tov She'atzeres Barur Simen Yafe L'chol Hashana Kula. We said above as well that if it's a clear day out, it's a good simen for the entire year. Amar of Zvida Hayom Akama Dereish Shasa, the first day of the year, I Chamim Kula Shasa Chamima. If it's going to be hot, Rosh Hashanah, so the entire day is going to be hot. The entire year, rather, will be hot. Yikarer Kula Shasa Karila. If it's going to be cold on day one of Rosh Hashanah, so then the entire year is going to be cold. So the Ma'naf Kamina, okay, so therefore what? So all right, so you know what, how to respond. It's going to be buy some nice clothing and coats for the cold weather. So it says the Gemara on the top of Amud Beis, the Tefillah Sosha Kohen Gadol. What's relevant to Tefillah Sosha Kohen Gadol? The Tefillah Sosha Kohen Gadol, she'ayam espalah b'yom ha-kipurim she'tei shana zu g'shuma v'shichuna. He davened that should be a year full of rain. V'yata l'fi inyan shira b'rosh Hashanah yispalah b'yom ha-kipurim. He should daven corresponding to what he saw in Rosh Hashanah 9 days earlier. That's how he should daven. How should he daven? So it says Tosos, the Tefillah Sosha Kohen Gadol, she yispalah she'im chama lo tiyeh chama yosemidai. In career, lotia kriya yosemidai. He's trying to minimize it. You can't change what was already told us, what already was destined from Rosh Hashanah, but you can at least minimize it. Rav Nevinson always gave the advice, you can never say that no one's going to die this year. There's not going to be deaths or sickness. There will be. But what you can daven for is that there should be less deaths. There should be less sickness, less pain. But you can never die that there should be nothing. So once Rosh Hashanah had a certain simon of the heat or the cold, you could at least minimize how bad it should be. Now what's interesting about this din is, we have, the Gemara Yuma tells us that there's a set text where the Kohen Gadol says. But according to this, it sounds like you could actually alter it a little bit, a certain bit, based on this Gemara. That's what it sounds like.
I just want them to get rained out when they're, right? The whole Indian, they're walking back.
Exactly. The Holchei Drachim said that one of the things you say, the Holchei Drachim's tefillah shouldn't be answered, they would ask that it shouldn't rain, because they don't want to be rained out when they're traveling. So we say the Holchei Drachim's tefillah shouldn't be answered. That's one of the three things that they would say. But this is a fourth thing that they could actually add on, which is not found, I don't think, in the text of the Gemara in Yuma. Now, based on this Gemara here, there's a machlokas, Yom HaKama Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So when it comes to the simanim, which the Gemara in Horios talks about, they have simanim Rosh Hashanah, the carrot and the pomegranates, the fish head, so it's brought down in the Gemara in Horios. And there is a discussion in the poskim whether or not you do this on day two as well. So the Chida writes, you're supposed to do this on day two, because everything you did in day one, you should do in day two. The Bnei Yisachar is medayik from this Gemara here. It says, Yom HaKama Dereish Shasa, the first day of the year, not the second day of the year. See, he says that he argues that one should not, you can if you want, but there's no inyan on day two of doing the simanim. The grandson of the Bnei Yisachar, the Mundkach, the Minchas Alazar, argues on his grandfather and says he doesn't like this dig so much. He thinks that, no, Yom HaKama Rosh Hashanah means the first 2 days. It's Yom HaRichta. Both days we have the same halachas, and therefore one can and perhaps should do simanim even on day two. Okay, the Gemara now says on the top of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Ravam Amar Rav Nachman. This is the Rav Nachman that Tosas was referring to on Amud Aleph. Ravam Amar Rav Nachman. Matna Shchemira is only midrabanan bi'alma. And what's the reason for this? Shema Titrev Daita Allah. Because if he's trying to get his possessions over to someone, and he knows it can't be fulfilled until Adam come and it's written down, he might get all nervous and might lose his life. We want to make him as comfortable and calm as possible. So if he says something, we say, okay, consider it done. This way he he won't get any sicker from that. So in order to protect his life. And that's why we have also Shulchan Aruch brought down on Shabbos. If a Matna Shchemira says, I want this property to go to somebody else, even though normally you cannot make kinyanim, you can't give gifts on Shabbos, for a Shchemira, we're allowed to accept the gift, Shema Titrev Daito, and he might die because of that. So we try to be very makel to protect his life. So he says it's only Medin Derabanan, just to protect him. But the Raisa, Matna Shchemira doesn't work because there are no kinyanim. So asks the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, does he really say this? V'ha Amar Rav Nachman, does Rav Nachman say, Af agav damar Shmuel hamocher shtarchov l'chaveiro, the guy sells a debt. Someone owes me money, $100, so I sell to Adam, here, you could collect from that guy. When he pays me back, you'll just take the money, here, buy the shtarchov for $20, and you could collect it, and you could keep the money. So the halach is, damar Shmuel again, hamocher shtarchov l'chaveiro, I sell this shtar to Adam, the Chazer Machlo, then, I say to this other guy, don't pay me back. So Adam just lost $20 because I was Mochel on the debt that this guy owes me. So I'm allowed to do that. Too bad for Adam. So, Vafilu Yorish Mochel, even my Yorish could be Mochel as well. So Adam's going to lose out. But the Gemara says, Mo de Shmuel, Shim Nasna b'matna Shchemira, de Eino Yachel Mochel. But if I say this tim when I'm in my deathbed, then I'm not able to be mochel. What's the difference? Why can't I be mochel at that point? So Rashbam says, because ma'an shchemira is greater. Look what Rashbam says. The end of, look at 10 wide lines down. Dibar maschil moda shmuel. At the end of this dibar maschil, around 6 lines down there, he says, de'ini yachal limcha, why not? The divrei shchemira ki ksuvim u'kmesurin dami. It's as if it's final when I say to give it to Adam. Valime mimatnas bari. And it's actually stronger than giving a gift, just a regular gift. Ve'ena yarish yachal limchal. So that shows that matnas shchemira is the strongest thing that we have. So it's got to be deraisa. If Rav Nachman says this statement, that matnas shchemira that's given over, I give him the shtar chov as matnas shchemira, I can never be mochel. It's given to him, he has full control over it. It shows it's a din deraisa, not simply a din Dirabanam. So the Gemara says again, if it makes sense, deraisa mishum da'achi niyachal limchal. If it's a deraisa, that explains why I can't be mochel, because it's all now Adam's. Eliyamis dirabanam. If the ability to give a matnas shchemira is only a din dirabanam, am I niyachal limchal? I really, with deraisa, have control of my shtarchal. Of course, I should be able to be mochel. So the Gemara says no. Rav Nachman holds ein shel Torah. Really, fundamentally, it's not a din deraisa. The ability to give matnas shchemira is not a din deraisa. However, asa'u kashal Torah. The Chacham made it have a din of deraisa, so that when a person gives a matnas shchemira, it's ke'ilu he has it on a deraisa level, and for that reason, the shchemira can never be mochel. Now, what's interesting here, just look at Tosas all the way in the bottom here, 4 lines up. A small line of Tosas here refers to another Tosas, but just the concept is very true. Ela eino kashal Torah. He explained earlier. What comes out of this is he's pointing out that only matnas shchemira is a din deraisa, but to sell or give a shtar chov sounds like that's only a din derabanan. So if you want to see a discussion about that, he says, look at Tosos and Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis Dibur Maschil Kanik. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Rav, actually before I do that, there's an interesting tshuva in Rav Moshe. Moshe's talking about a situation, are you allowed to force a chola to eat? Allowed to force a chola to eat who's very, very sick. So the halacha is, I had this shaila actually a week and a half ago, someone called and a relative was very, very sick and was choking, was brought to the hospital. Hatzalah came and saved them, and then they're on a respirator, and the person is having seizures and brain damage. Now, is there an obligation? If the heart fails, is there an obligation to keep that person alive or not, or let them just be? So Rav Moshe writes here, he says, you obviously cannot pull a plug. That obviously would be usser. But you also don't have to, if they are not capable, you don't have to either keep them alive if something happens to them. But what you do have to do to them is you have to provide them with the bare necessities, such as food and oxygen. You can't ever hold back food from them. You can't hold any oxygen. That's for sure. It happens to, if their heart's failing, you don't have to do any medication or any type of procedures, but the bare minimums you need to give them, like food and oxygen. But let's say they refuse to eat. They're not interested in eating. So then Rav Moshe says you're not allowed to force them, because if you force them and then there's a struggle, shema titrov daito, and that might cause them to die, but having such a struggle, in that case, you don't have to force feed them. That's what Rav Moshe says, based on the sugi here, of shema titrov daito, lest they, mentally, they struggle and they lose their life from that. That much you don't have to do. Okay. Gemara now says, last 8 lines. Amar Rava. Amar Rav Nachman. Shchemira Shamar, a person who is deathly ill, says, Yadar ploni bebayis. You're allowed to live in my house, Zeh, in this house. Or he says, Yocha ploni perus dekel Zeh. Where you can eat the fruit from this tree. Lo amar kluma. Doesn't mean anything. Why not? Because you didn't give anything over substantially. You didn't give him the house. You said you could live in the house. Living isn't anything. There's no mashish. You can't give over living rights. You can't do that as a shchemira. There's nothing that's being given. There's no chesed to be given it over. To give him the tree, there's no fruit. There's no fruit that are there just yet. So it's davar shelo bal yolam. So it doesn't work in that case. Because the klal is, anything that doesn't work for a matnas bari doesn't work for a matnas shchemira. We've said this before, that they're exactly the same, except the mechanism used. For a matnas bari, you need to do a ma'isa kinin, whether it's mashich or maos or kinin sudar. For a matnas shchemir, you don't need to do any ma'isa kinin. It's just a dibor. But whatever works, works. Whatever doesn't work, doesn't work. So just like I can't be makna over the fruits that don't exist yet, I can't makna over to a live in a house without giving you the house, so too that doesn't work for matnas shchemir. But the Gemara says, if you say, Ach Yomar, until you say, Tenu Bai Zeloploni, give the house to the person, or Yadarbo, and then let him live there, and Tenu Deka Zeh, give him the tree, Leploni, V'yocha Perosav, that would be permitted. Okay, we'll stop here, and the Gemara tomorrow is going to discuss, is it really true that there's such a parallel between Matnas Bari and Matnas Shchemira? Everyone have a wonderful day.